This is the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
Don't put more important on your soul, on your body, than on your soul. Don't put more important, as the scriptures tells us, as a Christian Bible, don't put more important on the whole world than on your soul. For you can lose the whole world. And if you keep your soul, you'll be saved. But if you gain the whole world, this is the Bible, and lose your soul, you're going to hell. And Christians and preachers, they've been talking about hell for generations, for thousands, for 2,000 years, and Muslims for now going on 2,000 years, talking about hell. And both books, if you read it carefully, it lets you know you don't have to die physically to go to hell. You die in sin and go to hell. You die the death of sins and you go to hell right away while you live. So we're looking for hell after death. And hell is on the corner where the dope fiends hang out. They don't call them dope fiends anymore. But they're dope fiends. They call them drug addicts or something. Something else, you know. Got all kind of names for it, but it's still a dope fiend. Where they hang out in their misery, that's hell. And the life that they have messed up for their relatives. Got hell in the house. The house have hell in it. Hell everywhere. Yes. So we're living in hell and don't know it. Living in hell and don't know it. We can get out of hell. We can save our relatives. God says, it's said through Jesus Christ again, said that a woman believed in him, and she believed in him so much she just wanted to touch him or anything that he was wearing. So she touched the hem of his garment. And her faith was so strong, and love was so strong for him, that she was healed. She was taken from hell. She was saved from hell by her faith. Yes. And we know that the Quran is a book that is protected by God, and the unrighteous can't get the good out of it. They can't get the good benefit out of it. It says, none can touch it. Look, the same word, touch. None can touch it but the purified ones. Purified? How am I going to become purified? Do I have to become a priest or a monk or something? No. You just have to become an innocent person that have good intentions. That's all you need to become one of the purified ones. When your intentions are good, God lets you touch his word. And you touch his word, and the communication from his word reaches your soul and your heart and your mind, and time reaches your mind and give you light to guide your way in the world and everywhere else. Yes, eternally. So, extended life form. That's what we have. And God wants us to understand that he made us to live in a paradise. Paradise. Where the first human person he created that person and put him in paradise and gave him a mate so that he could multiply and have children and the world could be, earth could be populated. Yes. Put him in paradise. Now we think of a physical paradise, a physical place. Yes, in time, God knows that if you stay with the right thing in your mind and in your heart, and do what you're supposed to do with your life in a rich environment of material usefulness. God knows in time you will transform whatever space you're living in. It can be a desert, but you'll transform that desert into a paradise. It could be a poor neighborhood. You'll transform that neighborhood into a paradise. God knows that he created you to have that ability, to have that ability to remake your own space that you put in and make it a paradise for yourself, for your life, that others can share. If you're selfish, you won't get it. It won't happen. If you have only yourself in mind or only your personal friends in mind, it won't happen. If you have only yourself in mind and all, or only your personal relatives in mind, it won't happen for you. But if you say, I want to share the spouse of home and spread abroad, both for Muslims, for Christians and for Muslims, but if you say, oh, I'm going this for my family. My family. You put emphasis on my. The angels leave you. And God will not be with you. You're by yourself. And what you make will be a hell for yourself eventually. And also for your children. You'll make a hell for yourself and your loved ones. Because you don't have the heart that God created for you. The heart that God created for every human being is a heart that wants to take care of first things first, but want to see the good reach as many as possible. If you go into business, businessmen and women, with that desire to have a business to take care of you and help provide for you and your needs in a better way, and so that you can be able to send, take care of your family, your loved ones, your children, etc., in a better way, that's beautiful and that's good and that's the way it should begin. But if you also have it in your heart, in your plans, to benefit others that you don't even know, you don't know them. But if they're around, when your wealth increases, you are not going to let yourself and your family eat it all up if you've got enough to fill up your stomach and fill somebody else's stomach up. You have a plan. I'm there when I take care of myself and my children, if I, God bless me with more, I'm going to take care of my neighbor and my neighbor's children. Or I'm going to take care of the poor people in this town here. I'm going to do something for the jobless people in this town here. When you think like that, oh, buddy, God just, he enriches you so much. Ain't no fertilizer that can grow you faster than that. No, ain't no fertilizer that can make you bigger than that. You grow big and fast. When you think like that, because God sends his angels to put them to work, say, hey, this is my special human being. Go to work. Work with him. He won't see you or she won't see you working, but go to work with him. And you'll find yourself doing marvelous things. You'll find yourself doing great things. But you have to have faith. Your life has to be turned on to the right channel and off these wrong channels. Have to turn your life off these wrong channels and turn your life on to the right channel. You only need one channel to open up all others. And that one channel is God. That's right. You need one channel, a channel to God. One channel. You get that channel to God open for you, all the other channels open up. In our religion, God calls the way path. He calls the way straight up path. He calls the way vertical path. Sabil, vertical path. Mustaqim, straight up path. Yeah. So God made us to go on two paths. One straight up, growing straight up like a pine tree in Georgia. One going straight up. Another one going horizontal, going out to reach your neighbors, going out to cover the earth. Huh? Yes, he made you for two paths. And if you turn on the channel of God, that path will take you to everything upstairs. The other path will take you to everything down here. And you'll find all channels open to you that's got anything worthwhile on them. Thank God. Allahu Akbar. He said, glorify God. And we say, God is greater. Allahu Akbar. Now, extended life. So when my mind go from myself to my wife, I have not only extended my consciousness, I have extended my life. That's why God says that he made the woman as a mate for the man, that they should be one. Huh? that they should be one. And in Arabic language, the Quran in Arabic, the word for wife means she's half of me. And the word for husband means I'm half for her. So we are two halves. And when we come together, we one whole. A whole life. And I don't know about you fellas out there, but if you've never been in love with a woman, and you've never been really clean-minded in that love, you are half a person. But once you find a woman that you can love and keep clean thoughts, even when you're sexy, you're still clean. I mean getting down sexy. But you're still clean. You're clean for her. You never disrespect her. You never treat her like a thing. You always treat her like a lady. You always treat her like a wife. You always hold her up as something valuable. Even when you're down with her, she's still up. If you've known that kind of love, buddy, you're a whole person. Allahu Akbar, God is greater. Extended life. Now, let's go from a mate. God didn't just give us a female mate to extend our life. But God said, I give you everything in sight. Say, man, behold my heavens, those stars. Behold the earth producing abundance. I have created all of this for you to engage it with your appetites and to engage it with your intelligence and bring it into human community for the betterment of human life. That's what God says in both holy books, in both the sacred books. That's what God says. In the Quran, it says that He has created all these things to yield their benefit to man. Everything in the sky and everything in the earth. So I know my mind goes out there. The mind of some fact is sometimes the poor man that ain't got no education and no money. And he's lonesome. And he's out of doors. They got no place to stay. And he wakes up at night after sleeping on the ground for a while. It's a clear night. He looks up at the blue sky. And he sees all those pretty stars up there. And he ain't got nothing. But he feels enriched. He says, oh, look how beautiful the sky is tonight. Yeah, he talks to himself sometimes. Oh, how beautiful the sky is tonight. His mind has gone from his poor condition and situation to look at the beautiful ceiling God made. Huh? No roaches crawling on that ceiling. No leak in that ceiling. It's fast, fast. It's raining, it's raining. Yes, extended life. So this poor little small man, if you can think with me, and God says think, for thinking is best to produce for you. Think. For thinking is best to produce for you. A great African-American, he said that our people will progress in the measure that we are willing to teach our children to think. Now, how many of us are really conscious of our children thinking? What they're thinking about? This life has become so busy and burdensome on the soul that we ain't got time to think about what they're thinking about or wonder what they're thinking about or be concerned what they're thinking about unless they're threatening us directly, personally. Then we want, nigga, what's on your mind looking at me like that? Call a little boy a nigga, you know, that's your son too. Nigga, what's on your mind looking at me like that? But otherwise, we're not concerned what the child is thinking about. We don't want to know what they're thinking about. We don't want to even know they're living, some of us. We just want them to get out of sight. That's pitiful. That's pitiful when love for material things, possessions, kill us inside like that. It's pitiful. But we're going to beat it. We're going to beat it. We're determined to beat it. And we are not fighting alone. We got good religious leaders and good human beings all over the world. They're coming into a new mind. They've been battling all the time. But now God has blessed us to see His words fulfilled. And they are convincing us that now it's time for us to do all in our power to defeat the schemes of Satan. Beat his game. Beat him. Beat him. Get him out of our lives. We are determined. Not just Muslims. People of different grades, of different religions. They are all getting up a new spirit and a new faith that they can conquer these things that are hurting human life. And they're joining each other. First time in the history of human beings in religion, or the faith, the people of faith. First time in the history of people of faith that you find the major faith, their leaders coming together to discuss how they can better work to better the conditions of human beings on this planet. Work in cooperation with one another. I see this as a day of religion, mentioned in the Quran many places, the day of religion, Yawm al-Din, the day of religion. Yes, so this is a wonderful time we're living in, the time of the concluding of things, major issues, like is man fit to govern himself? That was a major issue in religious history, in the history of the, what you call, the Abrahamic religions, or Abrahamic faith. Pardon me, Abrahamic faith. It's a major issue is, can man be trusted alone with his own life? Does he have to have the bosses manage his life for him, manipulate him, maneuver him into mindsets and behavioral patterns? Take charge of his life by controlling his psyche. Does that have to be done? Do we have to use music to control their lives? Do we have to use superstition, witchcraft to control their lives? These are issues going all the way back to the earliest times. But God always blessed a small number of people to say to such persons that's trying to decide to do that, no, you're wrong. Human beings have been created by their Creator to be in position to manage their own life. The individual can be responsible for his or her own life. And the Bible gives it this, they say, seven eyes went out to prove man unworthy. And it means unworthy of being responsible for his own life, individual life. And seven eyes went out to prove him worthy. So there are the group called seven. And seven, you know, seven just means whole. That's what it means, whole. It means the whole person. When you are seven in your elevation, or in your, in your development, in your spiritual development, you're seven. And God says He made seven firm heavens, right? Or firmaments. Seven. Yes. And the scripture also says that there's seven within every human person. It's talking about, that's a symbolic figure, meaning the complete life that you have the possibility of growing into. The complete life that you have the possibility or potential to realize for yourself. It's called seven. Seven heavens mean cosmic, universal. Universal means that human being, though localized, every human being has the potential to become a universal person, a whole person. benefiting from sky and earth, embracing all that is in the sky and all that is in the world, in the earth, that has that God has made to support and enrich human life. Then you're a whole person. Some of us never get off the block. We know nothing but the block we live on. We've never been out of town, not to mention out of state or out of the United States. We've never been hardly off the block. Born on the block, live on the block, die on the block. We go to the store. We go to the liquor house. Yeah. And to the cemetery. That's about it. That's pitiful. But some of us never leave the block. Never leave the block. Live there and die there. Extended life, that's what I'm talking about. Extended life body, B-O-D-Y. So don't think of your body anymore if you can join me in this power of the psyche. Use your mind, use the power of your psyche to perceive or see your body extended from you. Your body should also be your wife's body. And her body should be also be your body. You should see each other in body, not separately, but in body as one. And isn't it a good feeling to stand in front of the mirror with your sweetie? Especially when you're well tuned, you're well in tune with one another, you know. Ain't no friction in the communication. And you stand with each other smiling, a slight smile on your faces, and you look at each other in the mirror. And you don't see two, you see one. The feeling is one. The feeling is one. The love is one. The life is one. It becomes one. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. That young lady said, look beyond. Look in the mirror. Look beyond the exterior. Do you see what I see? She said. Look in the mirror and see beyond the exterior. And she said, do you see what I see? Wonderful. Wonderful. Extended life. We think of extended life as my family, and now I got children and other relatives and extended family. Extended family. That's right. That's true too. But every person has an extended life. When Jesus Christ in the Bible says, you are members in my body. He's not seeing his body as his one physical image. If he says, you are members in my body, then he's seeing his body as a body that includes all his followers. All of his followers. So now he has removed the picture or the idea that most of us have of our personal body. He has changed the one flesh body of a one human person to a body that includes and brings in all of his loved ones, all of his followers. That's a strong psychology coming from a strong psyche. Yes. And if we will muster up the strength. Huh? Somebody kept in touch with that message that Christ gave him about the mustard seed, didn't he? If you can just muster up the strength to identify those that you love in one flesh with you. What do the followers of David say to him? To assure him that you don't have to be afraid. We're not going to battle with you, David. We're going on the battlefield with you, and we're going to die with you. We're living with you, and we're going to die with you if we have to. They told him to say, we're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. So here we have a multitude of people having faith in their leader, David, peace be on the servants of God. And they are telling him, don't see us as separate from your own life. Don't see us as separate from your own flesh and bones. For we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And Allah told Muhammad to tell the people, they say to them, Muhammad, I'm a mortal being just like you. Huh? Yeah. And Jesus Christ said to his people, I and the Father, the Father and me. And he then extended it to them. He said, and I and you and me. Huh? One. Here's the life coming together as one. Now we, as I said many times now, I said it several times, if we can muster up the strength in our psyche, in our soul, mind, psyche, if we can muster up the strength to stop thinking of yourself as the person you see in the mirror. You're much bigger than that. Yes. Soon as the baby comes into the world and embrace mama and feel mama's warmth, the warmth of her flesh on him, and his body touching hers, he becomes two. He's not just one. His life has been extended to his mother. And he needs his mother to feel his life complete. And any time his mother distances herself from him, he feels a piece of life. Not a whole life. A piece of life. So let us use our intelligence, the invisible power in us, our intelligence, and our soul and our sentiment. Let us use these invisible powers to extend life and to reach that oneness that God created us for. God created us for oneness, to believe in one God and to become one people. And the people should be so united that they live in their hearts and in their souls and in their plans for their life as one person. You never exclude anybody. You include everybody. Say, if I ever get enough, I'm going to help the whole world get better. Somebody told me, what would you do if somebody gave you $1 billion? I say, I'd keep it and use it. Some fools say, I don't know what to do with that kind of that much money. Now, that's a fool. There are poor countries right now, $1 billion ain't enough to help them. So we need much more than $1 billion. We need trillions. And trillions and trillions. Do I have some black brothers out there, African American brothers out there, that's willing to walk with Imam Nabi Muhammad? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank God. Because if you walk with me, we're going to think big and act big and produce big. I heard somebody say, God is great, Allahu Akbar. I heard somebody stand here recently, said, Imam is getting old now, so we got to face reality. He's not going to be with us always. You all are keeping me around here. How can I leave and you ain't doing nothing? You're going to make me live 1,000 years. And I believe in God. And God says no soul can die until he gives it permission. Huh? Yes. God says he gives life and he takes it. So when God raised me to go, I'm ready. If it's right now, at this second, at this instance, if God wants me to go, my happiness is to go. But I tell you what I'm feeling. I'm feeling that I just started living. Because I just started seeing some of you all acting like you want to go to work.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call outright Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 178-798-6750. Outright Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, he's local distributor. And thanks for listening.